From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the first day of May 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo. He's at globalanalytics.biz out of Atchison, Kansas. And we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass from Agrible and Nutrien Ag Solutions right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online, listen to us on demand, anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Friday. May corn today unchanged, $3.11.5. July at $3.18.5, down a penny and a half. And May soybeans down three. It finished at $8.47.25. July at $8.49.5, down 5.75. And November, new crop at $8.55, down 2.75 cents. Bean oil, 9 cents lower. The bean meal down $2.20. And soft red winter wheat for the day. July contract, the harvest month there at 516.5, down 7.75. I didn't pick up the December corn. It finished at 336.75, down 0.5 cents. Live cattle futures were up around $1.30. Feeder cattle for the day between 72 and $1.15 higher, and lean hogs were up $3.75. Mike Zuzolo at globalanalytics.biz now joins us to discuss the marketplace. Hey, good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Do you feel like this is a turnaround week?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've got buy signals in the daily charts. I think the three big things that happened that were almost a necessity to happen to take the market away from that zero demand mindset we talked about last week with the crude oil numbers being very, very friendly, unleaded gas, ethanol numbers both finding a weaker or lower stocks number than the prior week, says we're probably getting equilibrium now between supply and demand. President Trump putting the meat processors into a defense position in terms of strategic business that cannot be lost, probably also really necessary to stem the tide of the beginning of liquidation of our hog and poultry herd and flocks. Probably the third thing was the idea that we actually, and this is probably the most important, especially heading into the crop report, the WASDE report in mid-May, because we all think it's going to be pretty nasty as far as supply side and how much we've been hurt by the demand, I should say. But that potential COVID-19 treatment breakthrough and potential ability to treat this disease and get this pandemic under wraps really, I think, helped promote the idea in the trade finally that we are coming off zero demand. We may be able to salvage and keep summer grilling season, keep that summer driving season. To the main things I'm still watching and we're still a big focus in a special report I just finished up on Monday.
All right, two things in the soybean market for the day. Export inspections included some numbers from China. We thought that might be the case, and they were there. On the flip side, the president talking about China and doing a little saber rattling with them on the idea that they need to be punished as it relates to coronavirus. How do you put those two in place?
Well, I think that, like you said, I think we were seeing that 10 million bushel export sale announcement this morning is kind of in the rearview mirror because we've been hearing about five or six loads, and we got some of that. I'm nervous about the president and what he's doing because I don't think it's the right time with 30 million unemployed right now to be going after China again. And talking trade, because trade equals manufacturing and agriculture. And I say that from a standpoint of being trying to be politically agnostic. But if I were on his team, I would say this is something you probably want to talk about in October ahead of the election or in September ahead of the election. Make it an election point that you are going to go after them. They don't want you to win, so on and so forth, so that you could make the electorate realize that this is an agenda item that they should be behind. If you do it too early, I'm fearful that we're going to, really stall out the potential recovery in the third quarter. And by default, if he do that, odds and history would say, so goes the economy, so goes the election. So I thought we got the pork and bean trade back really nicely this week, Todd. We had those big pork exports. We had really nice bean exports throughout the week. Weekly sales kind of topped it off. So I feel like we're back on track. But he can, with his power of Twitter and his policies, really affect agriculture. So it's certainly something we're going to have to watch because, again, this May report by USDA could be one of the most vulnerable that agriculture sees just because of what we've had to deal with since the end of February.
So we'll talk about this later in the program, both with Lee Schultz from Iowa State, who was on our webinar series this morning with the Farm Doc folks, and then during Commodity Week. Though related to the number of hogs that go through the processing plants, that tends to go down anyway. We'll hear more about that later going into the summer months. Is that good news for pork, if there is good news for pork in the marketplace?
Yeah, I think the demand is there globally. You know, that's one thing that hasn't changed since the Beef House meeting. We can say it's been damaged or it's been pushed out, but it hasn't been taken out completely. And we see that in the wholesale prices this week. Pork cutouts now up to $1.05. We're talking about a level that we haven't seen in over a year at this stage. And then that 81% ground beef price just won't pull back. It's now back up to, or it's now hitting a fresh high of $3.30 a pound. I think this was the major catalyst for the acceleration to the upside this week after President Trump made that news about making the beef and pork and poultry processing a part of the defense mechanism of our country as we fight this war and this pandemic. So it's extremely important, I think. My special report came to the same conclusion that we talked about at the Beef House, that I still think there's a protein-led demand recovery, that livestock could lead the grains out of this market. It's just been pushed out. Especially if we hold on to that summer driving season and summer grilling season.
You think ethanol will move upward and gasoline supplies will begin to be used in greater gallons?
I think that will come on slow, but I think the OPEC people and the OPEC Plus people really get it now, that they have killed the golden goose that lays the eggs. And I would not be surprised at another OPEC cut coming out here in the next week or two.
Anything else before I let you go for the day?
I think the big thing is going into the May report, that $3 lead month corn level really held nicely, and we've got buy signals on the new crop corn and new crop beans. We really need to build upon that momentum-wise.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
Mike Zuzulo is with GlobalAnalytics.biz out of Atchison, Kansas. You can hear him again if you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org, willag.org. Well, this morning, I moderated another in the Farm Doc Daily Live Coronavirus and Ag webinar series. This one focused on the livestock sector. Lee Schultz from Iowa State joined us. I asked him after he was done presenting if he could tell us a little bit about something you'll hear in our Commodity Week discussion as it relates to how historically, as we move into the summer months, the number of hogs going into packing plants tends to go down, and if that would relieve some of the pressure on the market, and then a few other questions as well.
That's a really good question, and the answer is yes. So there's obviously historically we've seen the seasonality in supplies, and that leads to seasonality in prices. So yes, the tightest slaughter levels are in the summer months with the highest prices, and that's really due to breeding. When you're breeding sows during the summer, you get fewer sows pregnant that can have an impact on pigs per litter, all that. And so then a year from then, yes, you get fewer slaughter supplies. And so, yes, to the degree that, you know, that is going to provide some help in the sense that you don't need as much capacity. But the challenge is we were going to have higher supplies than a year ago. And dependent, you know, it was dependent on what, if you looked at aggregate, it was up 2 to 3%. If you looked, you know, some states may have been up more, some states may have been up less. So, you know, where that state or where a particular producer is marketing those hogs would certainly dictate that. So, yes, yeah, so numbers going to be higher than a year ago. But I think the real challenge is we continue, if we have this backlog of hogs, that pushes more supplies into those summer months. And so the challenge there is then we don't get some of that seasonal relief in the supplies. And a lot of times those plants, that's good time for maintenance for the hog industry when those plants are running a little bit less and getting ramping up for fourth quarter. We won't have that this year as we continue to push those supplies further into the summer potentially.
USDA has yet to put forth guidance on the Defense Protection Act as it's related to the processing facilities. Most believe a large part of it has to do with legal liability. I'm wondering what your assessment early on of what they might be able to do is.
Yeah, so my reading of it, not a lot of details coming out of that. I think it's really important, though, to understand that you can order a plant to remain open. And first and foremost, these plants this is really a last resort to shut down operations after, first and foremost is making sure the safety, the health, the well-being of the workers is taken care of. But if we can maintain that, packers want to keep these plants open. And producers certainly want these plants to remain open. And we're doing all the options, putting physical distancing in. But if you get below a critical mass of labor and are not able to function these plants, that's when we've seen some of those closures. Now, you can, again, order that plant to stay open, but you can't order it to operate at a particular level. So having a plant stay open and having a plant operate at 80, 90, 100% of capacity is a very, very different thing. My hope here is that this puts more resources, even more resources. I know here in Iowa, a ton of resources have been devoted to the packing sector because it helps the producers too, in the sense of how do we maintain the operations of this critical infrastructure through increased testing, through other protective measures like PPE, through physical distancing. All of that, I think hopefully part of this executive order is to get those resources there that can help maintain these operations.
You think domestic demand for pork and beef later this summer will come back?
I would argue that it hasn't gone away. I think it's actually been stronger because we've still seen very strong, and that's part of the availability issues, I think, is the fact that even at higher prices, even at that change in mix and products, you've still seen consumers really demand protein, and in particular beef and pork. And so that really has been part of those availability issues. And so I think, again, this is a situation where we've really changed how consumers make purchasing, right? It had typically been a food away from home and food in home. Now we've directed that to all food in home. And I know myself, and I suspect others, shop a lot differently when they go to the grocery store. We're not just buying today's meal or tonight's meal or tomorrow's meal. We may be buying for the next couple of weeks. And so I think we're seeing a lot of large purchases, not only stocking up, but just because I expect to be consuming these products over the next days and weeks. And so that's really, we've seen some strong demand at the retail level just in general.
Lee Schultz is with Iowa State University and participated in our FarmDoc Daily Live Coronavirus and Ag webinar series earlier today. You can find that on our website later this afternoon at willag.org in its entirety. On this Friday, let's check the weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agribull. Good afternoon to you, Eric. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's start with right here in the Midwest. It was wet. It's cold. Boy, today's beautiful.
Yeah, and it feels nice for it to be beautiful in Illinois, given how much rain we saw this past week with two systems that came through, one of which produced some pretty nasty weather back on Tuesday, just absolutely soaking us. I mean, we had parts of the central part of the state that measured between 4 and 6 inches of rain on the week, which after some great planting time period, that's a little bit too much. In terms of rainfall. So it's so nice to be able to say that today the weather's going to be beautiful. Most of tomorrow, I mean, we may in central Illinois see some temperatures way in the upper 70s, maybe even cracking 80, which is going to be just a fantastic most of the day. But we do have a threat for some storms coming in late on Saturday night into early Sunday morning with a weak little system that's coming out of the west. But yeah, the weekend is going to be great overall, and I'm happy to be talking about temperatures in the 70s and 80s for once.
Uh-oh, rain again. Is that problematic?
Well, it all depends on what's coming after it, right? So a year ago right now, we were in the throes of 3 rainfall events a week. Remember that? I mean, it was just constant, and it did that all the way through May and then into June. Well, what we've got going on right now is the pattern is setting itself up such that we don't have flow from the southwest. We have flow coming from the northwest. And as a result of that, while precipitation does come through like normal spring rains, it's not coming through and giving us these like type of systems that shut us down for 7 or 8 days at a time. And so overall, I would say that the pattern in terms of precipitation is looking pretty good for the foreseeable future.
It's been cold in our part of the world, and I think that the Corn Belt's kind of divided along the Mississippi River, maybe northwest and southeast more directly. But is there a reason to think that the weather will remain cool in our part of the world?
Well, there is, at least for the first probably 10 days of the month of May. And the reason why, especially the farther east you go, really centered right over Ohio, is because the jet stream is favoring this pattern where it's really slowed down globally. It's bunching up in the west, so big ridge building out west with a deeper trough over the east. And what's going on right now is we've got two blocks in the system. So the ridge west and then a big ridge in the middle of the North Atlantic. So just think of it as two giant boulders in the stream flow. They just don't let things progress and move. And so they build up and they tend to last for a while. Do a little bit of calculation on how long patterns have lasted. It seems as though going back to January that we get stuck in a pattern for about 3 to 4 weeks. And we're 2 weeks into the current one where we favored cooler weather east. Yeah, we have, you know, breaks in it, but not too much. And then we've probably got another couple of weeks of dealing with that till the pattern breaks after about May 10th or 11th timeframe. So we are not accumulating heat very quickly in the east, but certainly accumulating it very quickly in the Central Plains and especially out in the western part of the United States. So, yep, we're a country divided when it comes to temperatures.
And finally, I'd like you to step maybe out of your comfort zone just a little bit and go all the way out into the summer. I know that's tough for meteorologists, but there is this underlying bubble within the agricultural world that says, hey, you know, we planted really fast. There are some dry conditions in parts of the United States. When that happens, sometimes we get a drought in the summertime. What do you see this summer?
Well, you're right. And I've heard from several farmers in states like Kansas, Nebraska, parts of South Dakota, even Iowa, that have said, we actually need some rain, which is just so funny to hear us talk about, given how wet things have been for the last few years. And so there's some concern when we look longer term. So for the first time in a while, we're actually seeing some cooler ocean temperatures in the Central Pacific. And what I want to talk about, I'll just give you three things, all right? If there's three things that we need to see happen throughout the month of May and early June that would increase our probability of more widespread heat and possibly drought in summer, it would be these three things. One, I need to see drought expand into Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, maybe even over to Missouri throughout the month of May. If that happens, which we don't want to happen, but if it does, that tends to help push the jet stream north, tends to dry things out, and it removes a moisture source, the recycled moisture that's usually in the soil and vegetation. That's one. Number two, if the trade winds, which blow from South America to Australia, if they get going fast from the east to the west, that would promote upwelling in the ocean, which would bring cooler ocean temperatures and give us more of a signal for La Nina. That has been happening lately. We need to see if it's going to continue to happen. Now, that can happen all at once. And remember, that's bullet point number two. Bullet point number three is, at the same time, we've got to cool off the North Pacific in the Gulf of Alaska. If those three things come together, well, that will match up perfectly well with past years with hot and dry conditions in the Central Plains and in the Midwest. Now, if those three things happen, that would actually buck a pretty long-term trend that we've had for a few decades now of trending toward wetter growing seasons with only very few time periods spent in drought. So what I'm saying is right now, these are the things I want people to be watching with me. You're going to hear a lot of meteorologists who are going to want to go out there and make a call. Oh, we're going to get scorched. But just remember, we have to take this calmly and steadily and watch these things evolve throughout May and June. But those are things I want you to watch with me.
We'll do that next week and the week after that, too. Hey, thanks so much, Eric.
Yep, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and does join us each and every Friday right here on Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report. Thanks for being along with us today. If you're in the tractor cab or soon will be, I urge you to figure out how to use your Bluetooth in the cab with your phone so you can listen to us anytime you'd like. Just check out your Bluetooth settings connected to the radio and then look willag.org up and just click and play right from the website any of our daily agricultural programming, or if you prefer to use a podcast on that phone, why not use something like Spotify or Stitcher, SoundCloud, the NPR One application, Apple Podcast, or Google Podcast. However you listen to us, thank you so much. Just search for the Closing Market Report and even Commodity Week. We'd be glad to be in your tractor cab whenever you like on demand. You can do that at willag.org or in your favorite podcast application. Speaking of Commodity Week, we recorded it yesterday afternoon with our panelists, including Dave Chatterton from Strategic Farm Marketing right here in Champaign, Illinois, Dale Durkles of Grain Cycles out of Bloomington, Illinois, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. If you can stick with us, you'll hear the whole of the program during the next half hour to 40 minutes. Otherwise, you'll hear it on many of these stations over the weekend. And again, up on that website at willag.org right now. I started by asking Dave Chatterton what was on his list to discuss for the day.
Well, Todd, obviously we're looking for a bottom in these markets or any kind of bottoming action. We have gotten a little of that coming into the month. That's tied, I think, directly to probably what we've seen from China and some purchases on soybeans last week, rumors the week before about purchases for reserves and some pretty kind of, I guess, jaw-dropping or market kind of moving numbers. We haven't seen that come to fruition yet. So we're a market looking for demand. We're looking for the bottom of the demand destruction due to the COVID curve. We're looking for the uptick of that kind of coming out the other side. And I'm not saying it's time to wave the white flag or anything like that, but I think the sentiment has shifted just a little bit, and that will catch the attention of the market here going forward.
Dale Durkles, what have you got on your list?
Well, initially, I would concur with what Dave had to say. I think we're seeing a subtle shift in sentiment and gains at this point in time. I think, though, this last week and maybe the last couple of weeks, a lot of the controversy has now been in the grains and over in the meats, and I don't think we want to ignore totally what's going on in the meats at this point in time, simply because the long-term implications some of that could have upon the demand for grains themselves going forward. So I think we probably need to at least give that some tacit attention.
And Chuck Shelby from Risk Management Commodities.
I'm looking a little bit further ahead at the May 12th crop report, and some of those numbers might be a little bit concerning if we look at corn in particular and have a 3.5 billion bushel carryout, something we hadn't had for many years. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, let's start with you, Chuck. You're a farmer and also with Risk Management Commodities. How far along were you able to get before the rainfall fell across Illinois and Indiana?
We're pretty far along. I'd say pretty much 3/4 with corn and 3/4 done with soybeans. Much different planting this year than last year. So it's going really well, and I think a lot of producers, especially in the western part of the country, are way ahead. So I think this is a much better year for planting progress.
That's Chuck Shelby from Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. He and Dale Durkles from Grain Cycles in Bloomington, Illinois. And Dave Chatterton of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois, joined us for our Commodity Week recording yesterday afternoon. You can hear the whole of that program now up online at willag.org on many of these stations over the weekend. And if you can stay with us here on our home station, you'll hear the rest of the program in just a couple of minutes. It's right here on Illinois Public Media.
Support for WILL comes from the Illinois Sustainable Ag Partnership, sponsor of the three-part risk management webinar series on June 18th, 25th, and July 2nd. Notable keynote speakers will be featured. More details at ilsustainableag.org.